Jesus talked about fear more than he did sin. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, responsibilities, chores, obligations, stop. Come on, laugh. You gotta laugh. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter's the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. You don't stop laughing because you're growing old. You're growing old because you stop laughing. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. You don't necessarily laugh because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh because these natural painkillers, endorphins, are released. Oh, folks, I don't know how we would survive if we didn't laugh. If we didn't laugh, we'd be crying all the time, or we'd become violent. Gotta laugh. Well, before I quote this one line of Scripture, I have to give you the context, okay? I got to tell you the whole story. Do you remember it's in Mark chapter 5 where the man from the synagogue, an important man in the synagogue, comes to Jesus, asks him to come down. His daughter, the man's name is Jairus, his daughter is very, very sick. He doesn't want his daughter to die. And Jesus says he will. And so he starts down to the house with the man, and then there's that little scene within the scene of the woman who's cured of all those the bleeding that she's had for so long. Okay. After that cure of the woman, Jesus gets to the house, and they're almost there when they hear crying and weeping, professional mourners, which was the case back then. And somebody says to Jairus, "Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead." And okay, here's the Scripture quote I want to share with you today and reflect on. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Or another translation has it, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." Wow, huh? When all was said and done, Jesus talked about fear more than he did sin. Why would he talk so much about fear? It is so much the human condition. Often our sinfulness flows from our fearfulness. When we're afraid that God's not going to take care of us, when we're afraid there is no God, then out of that fear, we will play God. Out of that fear, we can become proud, greedy, jealous, violent. Yeah. It makes perfect sense to me why Jesus would talk so much about fear and how we have to handle fear. As in this story, which is one of the most powerful stories about fear. The man's daughter has been pronounced dead. And Jesus is saying to him, "Don't be afraid. Trust." Well, the rest of the story, as you probably know, Jesus and just a couple of the disciples goes in. He has the father send all the professional mourners and everybody else and I get him out of there. Goes in, the daughter's laying there. And Jesus says to her, "Little girl, get up." And she gets up. Can you imagine the emotion of that moment? She gets up. The parents had to be dumbfounded. They had to start screaming hysterically, running to the girl, throwing their arms around her. Jesus says, "Give her something to eat. She's hungry. She's been sick all this time." Do you know that your faith is going to be tested? Do you know that? Do you know why your faith is going to be tested? Why my faith is tested? Why anybody's faith is tested? Because the only way you know if you have faith is if it's tested. I've given you the example again of a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it atrophies. How do you know you have faith? When everything's going smooth? Well, anybody can just do lip service to how much they trust in God. But what happens when you start having health problems? What happens when you start having marital problems, problems with your kids, problems with finance, problems with job? What happens when all the media is just constantly telling you about this murder, this kidnapping, this terrorist attack, this natural disaster, this disease? Well, yes, your faith is going to be tested. Well, go ahead, ask me your next question. Well, Father Scott, how do I know? How will I know that I passed the test? Well, you pass your test, whatever it may, big or little, to strengthen your faith. One of the ways you can pass it is developing what's called a dynamic memory. I talk about this all the time when I give my talk on stress. So here's the concept I share with people. I'm talking to lots of people in church, right? I say to the people, you would not be here tonight if God had not gotten you through the last crisis. No, it's true. You would not be here tonight if God had not gotten you through the last crisis. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that crises do not come to stay, they come to pass. While you're in the middle of the crisis, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're wondering how you can and absolutely survive. When it passes, and all crises do pass unless your life is taken, and even then it passes because if you follow Jesus Christ, both with your lips and your heart and your actions, and you wake up in heaven. When it passes, you know what most people do? They forget. Which means they face every crisis in their life as if it's the first crisis. Well, you can't do that. You can't face every crisis in your life as if it's the first crisis. You got to develop, and here's the phrase I use, a dynamic memory. Dynamic, like dynamite, a super memory. So that when the next crisis comes, and sometimes they come with some frequency, you remember how God got you through the last crisis. And if you remember how God got you through the last crisis, then you can believe more readily that God will get you through the next crisis. And remember, God does not change the circumstances of your life, and sometimes He does change the circumstances by allowing a person to receive a genuine big miracle. But if God doesn't change the circumstances in our life, He changes us in the circumstances so that we can deal with our problems without being crushed, that we can be a source of inspiration to other people, that we can grow in intimacy with Jesus because of our prayer and our trust and our handing our life over to God. Yes, and maybe that's the bigger miracle. If you are faithful, if you pass the test, if you don't give up on God, if you persevere to the end, if you hang in there, you can expect heaven. Heaven. Now you got to pray, okay? You got to pray like everything depends upon God and work like everything depends upon you. You got to read Scripture constantly. It's a word of God. You got to read Scripture to see how many times Jesus talks about trust and how the different people, weak as we are, rose to the occasion, trusted God. You got to exercise your faith. You got to practice it. It's like what I said about the muscle. You got to exercise your faith. And you want to belong to a prayer community, okay? You want to belong to a community of people, a church community who supports your faith walk, who prays with you and for you, who can inspire you because Christianity is not taught, it's caught. So that you can fortify yourself with their support to take on the problems of your life, to take on the problems of the world. And they're multiple. You know, nobody like a traveling preacher knows all the problems in the world. I've been traveling and preaching for years and years and years and years and years and years. So I can tell you, I know. I don't want to simplify this. I don't want to understate how difficult some people's lives are. But trusting God brings blessings. Trusting God brings the peace that I'm always talking about, quoting Jesus, I'll give you peace the world cannot give. Trusting God gives you a lasting joy, not a fleeting pleasure, a lasting joy. I want to encourage you, really, to trust God. Not to be so fearful. I know when initially the incident it provokes the fear happens, humanly, because of the fight-flight syndrome, we do get uptight. We do get tense. We do go, we do go into shock for a moment or trauma for a moment. But you know what? We got to gather our resources. We got to, right away, our dynamic memory. God got me through the last crisis. God is with me. All the things I say early in the week. What do I say on Monday? God, on your side, you can handle what today brings. What do I say on Tuesday? Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. All right? All right. Trust more, worry less. Somebody once said, the one thing we absolutely owe God is not to be afraid. Who do I want you to pray for today? With the Air Force. We want to pray for our people in the Air Force. The support team behind the scenes at work to keep the planes going and the people who fly the planes. You know, may God be with them. May God give them all the strength, the courage, the wisdom to defend our country, to act with justice, to follow the rules. Ask God to bless them, okay? Today's food for thought is a Chinese proverb, one of my favorites. It goes like this. We cannot stop the birds of sadness from flying over our heads, but we can keep them from building nests in our hair. Boy, doesn't that go hand in hand with what I'm saying about trust today? Now, you can't stop sadness from coming your way. Pain is inevitable. Misery is optional, though. Stop them from building nests in your hair. Okay, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A man sobering up from the night before is sitting through the Sunday sermon, finding it long and boring. Still feeling hungover and tired, he finally nods off. The priest has been watching him all along, noticing his apparent hangover, and the priest is disgusted. At the end of the sermon, the preacher decides to make an example of him. He says to his congregation, "All those wishing to have a place in heaven, please stand." The whole room stands up except, of course, the sleeping man. Then the preacher says even more loudly, "And he who would like to find a place in hell, please stand up." The weary man, catching only the last part groggily about standing up, stands up, only to find that he's the only one standing. Confused and embarrassed, he says to the priest, "I don't know what we're voting on here, Father, but it sure seems like you and me are the only ones standing for it." That's clever. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? Let me know if you do listen to the program. Let me know if it's helpful. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. We need to be prayer partners for each other. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. It tells you where I'm preaching. There's inspiration, humor, a lot of information about my hospital for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. And if you could, please send me a check. Help me keep my hospital open. I mean, a hospital for the poor can never, you know, pay for its expenses without the charity of people. You can make the check out to TASH, TASH Inc., stands for the Anesthesia Tower Hospital, TASH Inc., and send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you use the internet, I encourage you to visit my website of Father Scott, spell out Father, one word, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee.